Hello everyone, welcome to another Social Dad podcast. I'm starting this show all by myself and I just sent an invite to a couple of dads, Stacey Robinsmith, Casey Palmer, see if he's online. He's in Toronto, so it's probably after midnight there, but he does work late. I'm doing a show tonight because it's hot. And when I say hot, I'm sure you've seen on the news how the Pacific Northwest is experiencing a record heat wave, which will be the first of every single year and every single summer because of the climate change emergency. So we got to start recycling. I mean, I say start, recycle and be better and eat less meat and be healthy and all the things. Sorry if you can hear white noise in the background. That's my fan. If I turn it off, I will die. I say figuratively, kind of literally, like it's hot. It's 31 Celsius, which is, 100 degrees Fahrenheit, let's say. Oh, I've got two guests coming in. Who is it going to be? I hope someone starts talking quickly because I'm really, really hot. Zencaster is what I'm recording on at the moment. And, you know, they do. Oh, Stacey's coming in. Stacey, are you there?
Do you hear me?
Yeah. Hello.
Hey, first shot.
Yay, that worked amazing. How's things?
I'm good. I'm on my PC tonight, so...
You're just a bit quiet. Might have to shout.
Is that better?
A little. You maybe have to insert the microphone to your mouth.
Yeah. Is that KCP on the line too?
Casey's coming in.
Hey, coming cool.
Hello.
How do I increase my input feed?
I don't know. You just, maybe just have to shout or something.
It's actually deceptive. When you get the channel later on, it actually is plenty loud.
Oh, perfect. Well,
I can barely hear Casey.
Yeah.
Really?
There you go. A bit better.
I'll fix that. That's okay. 1 second.
Nice one. Teething problems, but it's okay, considering. The world is on fire, and we're making content, because that's what we do.
That's right. You're going to be good. Be good content.
Yeah, my wife and daughter have left me. Not properly.
Temporarily,
thank goodness. They otherwise, I'd just be really bored and also sad. My wife's gone to her sister's house in Vancouver, because they have air conditioning and I'm sticking it out because it's fun, you know, makes good content. There's too many kids there and I needed quiet. I work from home and didn't want to deal with all that sort of stuff. Though they're lovely people.
You've chosen wisely.
I mean, I'm melting, but it's quiet. It's a quiet death. Hey Casey, how's it in Toronto? I suppose you've heard it's a tad warm here.
I mean, weather-wise, we're fine. I mean, it was muggy today. It was a hot one, but we still went out and played frisbee and listened to our kids' complaints and all that kind of stuff. So the usual, I guess, just a hot day, but everything else is pretty much on par with what we're used to.
But when you say muggy, how humid is it?
I'm gonna look it up.
Yeah. Because from what I think they get unprecedented compared to what we do.
It's 24 there in Celsius, 75 Fahrenheit.
And what's humidity though? I bet it's 68. Up around 80. 68. See, what are we at, like 13 or something?
I don't know. We're at inside volcano. We're at 54. Yeah,
we have air conditioning and everything, so we walk outside the door and you're just hit by a wall of heat. Where you're just like, oh, this is not gonna be fun. And I took them out for ice cream and everything, which was great for them. But then as soon as we got down to the park, they're like, oh, why aren't we swimming? Oh, this is horrible. I was like, my children are not tough yet, but that's okay. Well, we'll get there.
How old are your little ones?
7 and 5.
Oh yeah, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I quite enjoy watching like Facebook memories from when my kids were 5 years old. I had one when they were dancing at Granville Island, and it just made my heart melt. They're just so innocent and just dancing. There's some guy was playing music and they were just up there dancing so freely. Whereas now my kids are 12 now. And so, yeah, that's not on anymore.
They're just embarrassed.
By everything I do and say.
Yeah.
Nice.
And rightly so.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
I've turned off my fan to avoid the white noise in the back, and instantly I'm feeling it. And I've got a little fridge here, which I'm sure is not helping the heat in my tiny little office, which is on the top floor of the house where we live. And it's so hot. Like, it's 31 degrees outside. Inside, I don't know. I would imagine it's about 35 and there's no air really moving. I'm tempted to go down to the water and just sort of splash my feet around in the ocean. Does any like animals come out at night, like crab or I don't know, monsters in the sea?
There's not as many as you'd think, and you know, it's they're more rare. The monsters are more rare than we've ever could imagine. Yeah, I turn my fan off and like, wow, it's instantaneously uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's bad. I'm wearing a sweatband on my head, and I woke up at 4 this morning because it was so hot, and the light was coming in, and so I you know potted around and I waited for 7 o'clock and then went down to the 7-Eleven to look for ice. Of course, there's none, and I came back and I was drenched, and I had to wear a sweatband, and then obviously forgot that I was wearing it. So I'm on Zoom with the whole office all on Zoom having a Monday morning chat. And I'm like, I look like a wreck.
You look like a dodgeball, like from somebody from the movie Dodgeball.
Yeah. I'm wearing a sweatband. I'm melted. My hair, like, I've still got bed hair because what's the point? And it's like, oh, this isn't good. Everyone else is showered and fresh and looking amazing. It's a bad look.
Wow.
Yeah.
You sound kind of different, y'all.
Yeah, it's only going to get worse, I think.
No, don't tell me that. I'm supposed to visit in August.
Oh, no, I don't mean like, it's going to get better next week. And then who knows what it's going to be. I think it's going to be a long summer and then stormy winter and then it'll snow in, I don't know, May or something next year. But generally speaking, thanks to the climate and our abuse of the planet, it's only going to get hotter, which is uplifting. What are we going to do about it?
Plant gardens on our roofs.
Make amusing Instagram posts.
Yeah, sure.
Content. Just, you know, entertain people as we suffer.
Well, I heard that Blackcomb Whistler, I don't think I'm running over by a truck here. Blackcomb Whistler had a, they'd ski all year round on the Horstmann Glacier.
Uh-huh.
And I heard that they're shut down now because the glacier has shrunk so much that they can't even ski on it.
Oh, no way.
Damn.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff happening right now.
I mean, that like never comes back. And once it's gone, unless we have, I know technically we're still in an ice age, but because there is some remaining ice, but it's basically gone. This isn't as uplifting and fun as I thought it would be when I was like, it's a podcast. This would be great. Let's lift everyone's spirits.
Well,
we're doomed.
You guys know that I'm actually, my hometown is Lytton.
Yeah, I saw it on the news.
Yesterday they broke the Canadian record, and today they broke the record they broke yesterday.
So oh, really?
What was it? 47.9.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And so the Global News went up there and did a little story. They did a little walkthrough, and they said, we wanted to interview the locals, and they're walking down the street, and there's like nobody on the street because, you know, nobody's that stupid to go out when I know. It's like, no, not a chance. We stay inside during that.
Yeah.
Time.
Well, you can't. I went to Awesome Mills this evening, and just in the parking lot, once you get out of the, you know, your air conditioned car, it's torturous. Like, you can't stand, just, you know, you can't hang around in the parking lot. It's awful. It's such a dry heat because it's reflected off all the asphalt. Concrete and asphalt and things, and it's just like you have to almost run into the beautiful air conditioned mall where everyone's just relaxed and chilling and trying to dry off some of their sweat. But it was like, ooh, which reminds me, today I discovered Bass Pro Shop.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Isn't that just extraordinary?
Yeah, actually, I think I went to the one in Springfield, Missouri when I was at college there about 2002, 17 years, well, 18 years ago. That's surprising. Yeah, I think I went there and I was like, oh, this is amazing. I've never seen anything like it. And then obviously 18 years later, I forgot. And I saw it and it's so good. Like everything is camping and there's canoes and kayaks and tents and
smokers, barbecues, sleeping
huge
beds.
Things of cheesy puff things.
Yeah,
I've never seen that before.
Pretzels filled with peanut butter.
Yeah. Oh, you can get those at Safeway now.
Really?
Do you guys have that equipment co-op as well?
Which one?
Yeah, they're everywhere now.
Which co-op?
Mountain Equipment Co-op, MEC.
Yeah, we have one out here.
Yeah,
but okay. But this the Bass Pro Shop is.
It's so
I have one of those too. I have Bass Pro Shop as well.
Oh, you guys really? Get everything out east there.
Wow.
The cool thing is with all the animals that they have stuffed, and then the big fish tank with the massive salmon swimming in it.
Yeah, that was really. I wanted to get a picture, but there was a bunch of kids walking around looking at the fish.
Yeah, my kids just. So, I mean, last summer we did anyway. They loved going out there to Tawasin and had a fabulous time. That was.
I'd never really been out there. I think maybe once when we were going to we were waiting for a ferry or something, so we just popped in. But I'd never been all the way out there, and it was really nice. The Bass Pro Shop it feels like a sort of destination, almost like a theme park of a shop.
Well, it's got a bowling alley in it, right?
Oh, does it?
Yeah, there's a bowling alley and a cafe. I have a hunch the cafe is closed right now because of the COVID stuff. But yeah, there's a bowling alley in the store and a diner type thing there.
No way. I didn't see any of that. It's just massive.
Yeah,
and I was wandering around looking for a hat because like I needed like a wide brim to protect my neck and face from the sun.
Top of your bandana that you were wearing,
yeah,
or your headband.
Oh yeah, in my headband. Yes, it's a look. It's not a good look.
Yeah,
but it's so good, and they've got everything in there. They even had quad bikes and things, and I was like, oh, this is the Five Dads Go Wild. I want to do. I wonder if we can
camp in the store.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. I wonder if that's a possibility.
We'll rough it. We'll have them turn off the air conditioner.
Oh, silly. Not that rough. That was crazy.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, it's the kind of like destination store where you could go in and get everything you need. They had some really nice hydro flask, I think it was, the big thermos things, which I was thinking about stocking up. Though I have a few, don't need them, but I love them. And like they had all the cool clothes that I love getting from Marks, but they had even more, and they just had everything that I love going to. And I was wondering if I could take my family and just let my wife and daughter, you know, explore the rest of the mall, and I'll just you can leave me in here like an old man falling asleep in a, you know, one of those chairs and like the massage chairs.
Yeah,
but don't ask how much I've spent.
But they, my kids just love wandering around inside there. And I mean, they found there's actually a big section for kids where they have all the stuffies. And so my kids came out of there with arms full of stuffies, and so they had to learn how to prioritize and say which one is it that they actually want. And so that was it was a good lesson, good life lesson.
Yeah, you get to prioritize as a family. Daddy wants his kayak, so you don't get anything.
That's right.
It's only fair.
Yeah. Hey Casey, you know that the Mountain Equipment Co-op, the MEC, is they big restructuring, right?
Didn't they get bought out?
That's it. Yeah,
so I didn't know that.
It's no longer a co-op. It got bought up by a venture capitalist group, and so they've actually changed the name to, and it's now it's just called Mech because they had to drop the co-op because it's not a co-op.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it happened. Oh my God, it's just a time warp. I can't remember when it happened. It's just in within
September
the last year.
2020,
Was it?
acquired by a private US investment firm.
Yeah, and the people who are running it have deep connections to Mech. I have to get used to saying that, and Vancouver. So, but
Oh,
anyway, yeah, it's
well.
big change for them.
Yeah, man, this I'm so sweaty. That fan was saving me, but I'm doing it for the podcast.
Same, same. I'm taking one for the
Sacrifices.
team.
Yeah, I invited Michael, but he
Yeah.
turned off his computer and didn't want to turn it back on.
Well, I luckily I had my work one was still on. I actually turned my Mac off because it was getting so hot sitting here getting so hot. Hey, speaking of getting so hot, my sister took the SkyTrain home today as per,
Yeah.
and she said that the trains were running slower because the tracks were so hot. They were scared they were being deformed by trains running too fast on them.
Whoa.
Like, how crazy is that?
I saw some roads that, on Twitter somewhere, but I think in Seattle or somewhere the roads are starting to buckle.
The asphalt is just so soft, you mean?
Yeah, it's they're cracking because it's too hot, and we're made for cold up here, but hot is just not
Not
what
that
it's done
hot.
for.
Well, I was watching the news, and like one place broke their previous record for the day by 8 degrees.
Oh my God, that's
The previous record was like 32, and it hit something like 41, or I mean, I remember looking, I think it was 8 degrees, and I can't do the math on that in my head, but at the time, like to break the record by 8 degrees. Same with the thing in Lytton, right? Where they the records, the Canadian record was something Medford, Saskatchewan. It stood for 50 or 60 years, and then they broke it, and then they break the new record the day later.
yeah.
It's just kind of bizarre.
I mean, I'm looking at the weather forecast and it said that next week it's gonna cool off a bit, which is good because I'm going camping on the 5th.
Nice.
And I don't, like a nice sort of 22 and cloudy, which I'm really looking forward to. That's gonna be
Oh,
bliss.
heaven, heaven.
The roads that were buckling, they're expanding and cracking was on Interstate 5, so from Vancouver down to Seattle and then down to Oregon, I guess. Like the major interstate, and it's cracking because of the heat.
Madness. Hey,
Yeah.
Casey, what's life like out in you're in Toronto proper?
Toronto proper.
And so what's life like out there now with the are things is business opening up again, or where are you at on that? Because we're kind of in a we're in a blessed little spot here right now, where I've noticed. How are you doing out there?
We're getting back to normal. I mean, it's been months of being in some state of lockdown. My kids haven't been to school since December, so we're all kind of retired. But we're getting into summer. People are getting their second shots. I have mine scheduled on Thursday, so
Nice.
it is all starting to open back up again. It's starting to look like a regular summer. We're fortunate that we're still able to maintain our summer holiday plans. So next week at the cottage, we're camping in July, and then we're dropping the kids off with Sarah's parents for a couple weeks so that we can hit up Vancouver, Victoria,
Oh, sweet.
Oh, you're coming out here in. When are you coming out here?
Yeah, it's a couple weeks in
Excuse me.
August.
It's like a celebrity sighting, Mike, James.
I seen Casey, I took a
Oh, he's
picture.
coming to Vancouver.
Yeah, we're doing our 10th anniversary trip, so we always want to see more of our nation, so we're gonna hit it up and do. Yeah, we'll have a. I think we start for a few days in Vancouver, and then we'll probably spend a day or two. I think we spend pretty much a day solid in Victoria. We like get there at night, stay the day, and then the next morning we drive over to Tofino. We'll be at
Nice.
Qualicum for a bit. And I think we have a couple other trips on there, but yeah, looking forward to just kind of change the scenery.
That's
I hear you guys like
great.
the outdoors a lot over there, so I'm gonna get
The
ready for
drive
that.
out to Tofino, that's a challenging drive, you know.
Yeah, I've driven in a number of different countries now
Yeah.
where there's just like, what's a barrier? You don't need a barrier. What's
Yeah.
that for? So I'm ready for whatever comes my way, but
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Because that's kind of what it's like.
yeah,
What's
I've been through
in
that.
Tofino that you should hit up?
Surfing.
Okay. Yeah, here's this really nice scenic. I have friends who've been there, and they're like, "You're gonna go eat at the Tacofino food truck." I'm like, "Cool, that sounds great," because I looked at the menu and everything in there, and it looks great. Generally speaking, I just kind of want to get a couple weeks in of what the BC vibe's all about, and just, check out a few different places.
Nice.
That's
Well,
awesome.
I hope the weather's better for you. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, let us know when you're here.
He'll probably come out here and think that this is just heavenly. This weather is just easy peasy for him.
Yeah, honestly, when we have we've gone through days where you get five different kinds of weather from, you go from -5 to 35 some days in like spring, and you're just like, what is happening? Why have we decided to agree to this plan? So if I have some nice like temperate, mid-range stuff where it's like, yeah, this is just like, a hot day like in the mid-20s, high-20s, I can do that. I can do that. When it gets up to like we've done the 40s, low 40s over here, and we're just like, this sucks.
Well, like the Phoenix, Arizona, had a thing on their news saying that, well, if you think it's hot here, have a look north, 1,200 kilometer or 1,200 miles north up in Canada, and they did a story on the record-setting heat because we were 5 degrees hotter than Phoenix, Arizona. I got a
That's
colleague who
ridiculous.
usually, on the
Wow.
last day of school, he jumps on a plane and goes to Arizona, and he's like, "Yeah, why bother?" It's funny, but yeah,
Well,
I
my
hope the
daughter's
weather
supposed to
drops.
be in the last day of school tomorrow, but it's cancelled. The school's cancelled. All
Our
schools
kids are
were
going
cancelled
in.
today, tomorrow as well. So
Yeah,
it's
we saw.
another year where the end of the year is like it's nothing. So,
I saw
okay.
Michael Kwan's post about that, and I think my comment on it was apropos. I'm like, school? You guys are still doing that as a thing?
My kids are going in at 9:20 for 2 hours, just basically to collect stuff and say goodbye to friends and whatnot. So,
Yeah, I think I have to pop in and go and get my daughter's stuff because
all the old
she's my
sandwiches
one's
she left
still
there.
in Vancouver, so can pick up her headphones so she can listen to YouTube Kids. Do your kids watch YouTube Kids? This is a tangent, but it's awful.
It is. I used to let them watch it, and then we've been weaning them away from screens bit by bit throughout the pandemic, just because we saw how horrible their behavior was getting. And so they have some TV now when we're really busy with meetings, because both Sarah and I are, working from home, and things are not slowing down. But yeah, if we can avoid it, we avoid it. We try to take them out as much as possible, whether it's biking, scootering, throwing a frisbee or badminton, whatever we can do.
Yeah, that's nice. My daughter's because she's an only child, and up until this point almost, we haven't been able to play with other kids and things. So some days, some weekends, and whatever, especially if it's early morning and she's up before anyone else, we say, okay, fine, you can watch YouTube Kids. But it's not like when it's a normal TV show, it's kind of moderated, there's processes to go through, approvals and whatever, and they make a good product. But when it's on YouTube Kids, it's just it is a lot of adults playing with kids' toys, and you just see their hands and they're doing annoying voices, or it's parents pushing their kids into making episodic nonsense. And it's not only is it annoying for me to listen to, but she loses her mind when we turn it off. And she gets sucked in and she loses it. And like if we're saying we're going swimming or whatever, she's bawling on the floor, she can't handle it. So why do we let you watch this nonsense? It's not good. Like you can watch Bluey, that's at least that's got good messages and
Oh, Bluey. I love
like a
Bluey.
father who's involved. This is just like grown-ups playing with kids' toys trying to get some money before it's taken off the air.
I know that bad, like that, those tantrums, I've been through those. They're a little less now just because, the kids are more used to the routine of if I come and turn the TV off, your crying is going to do nothing to save you. So don't do it. But yeah, I've been through so many of those in the past. It's hard because they have to wait till they're emotionally mature or have enough rationalization that it's like, oh, well, perhaps it's time to stop this. But even at 5 and 7, I have my moments where that does not play the way I think it should.
Yeah. So what do? You just cut them off?
I'm a line in the sand kind of dad. I'm just like, nope, this is not happening. And then they get escorted to their rooms where they can get it all out of their system and join us for meals when they feel ready.
Nice.
I think that's a pretty fair way to do it.
Yeah.
And I think it's the only way to do it, really.
Well, and also, you're starting with them when they're 5 and 7, and you're saying that, okay, I'm making the rules, and these are fair, and there's consequences for you not following them. I think that's a brilliant message. That's really important to teach them and reinforce that message. I love it.
Thank you. It's a very watered-down Jamaican parenting strategy where, you know, they don't get hit, which is great for them, but at the same time, I'm very firm. It's all I know. But I feel like we have a stronger relationship between us because of it. They understand where the rules are. They understand cause and effect. So if they do something, the consequence comes immediately. So I don't let it linger and I explain why something happens. So they're very comfortable with my parenting style because there's no guesswork. And I think that works out really well for where they are in their, you know, mental development. So.
Well, that consistency as well, that's, you know, they know that this is what dad does and this is how you will respond. And so they know that, right? And so you're not being erratic and saying, okay, sometimes I do this and then I get away with it. So if you, the consistency, that's really important. Good to hear.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. I think consistency, definitely. But also, like my daughter, I don't know. I think I'm probably too soft on my daughter. And I think, I don't know. I tried to be the sort of kind parent where I'm like, you know, we're going to turn off the TV. Don't make this a whole thing. I just want to turn it off so we can go out and do something fun. Like I'm doing something for you. Like you want to go and play soccer outside. I don't especially want to do it, but I'm doing it because it's something that's good for you. And then, which is already, I'm over explaining it. And she's forgotten what I said and,
mm-hmm.
lost interest, and I should be nope, this is off and we're going outside, and then she'll lose it and then I've lost what I'm doing, and then it's like, oh, why can't we just do that, and there's a whole mess and I need to
get into it.
And also she asks a lot. I mean, I know she's only 5, but she asks a lot of how come you get, I don't know, more than me, or how come you get another slice of pizza than my. Like, well, I'm bigger than you. Like, that's not fair. Well, it is, but you have to sort of, I don't know. I over-explain things to her, I think. Like, even when she asks something that I'm interested in, like, how do trees, can trees talk to each other? And I say, oh, great question. I've been reading a book about this. And then I go into too much detail again. Like, she just means do fairies talk. And I say, yes. They do. Yeah,
my one of my daughters is going through a phase where if I ask for something, I'll say bring me a pan or something like that. I'm out at the grill and I say bring me a pan. She goes, why? And I'm like, because I need it. And so then I get kind of snappy with her, and that, you know, that doesn't play well for anybody. But
it escalates.
Yeah, it's just like I asked you because I need it, or you know, like close the window. Why? Well, because, and I said, I don't feel like I need to explain every question or request I make. But it's just a phase.
Do you think it's because they're genuinely curious, or they feel like it's not justified? Like, why am I being asked to do this thing?
Yeah.
Surely you can do it. Like, you don't look that busy.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
That's how I hear it. And which is interesting, because maybe it is just a case of, maybe she is curious, but I see it as more, I interpret it as oppositional.
Yeah. Maybe it's, I don't know, framing like, I'm super busy, or I'm just holding this. Would you mind opening the window for me?
Right.
So we can let some air out, and then it sort of makes sense. Though having said that, like, why can't you do it? Because I'm going to lose my mind if you don't do it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yes, kids, they're a lot.
Yeah, they sure do make you think about who you are and how you interact with people. It's that's
true.
It's pretty interesting how that. You know,
I've been trying to explain to my daughter how, if she just says, okay, or if she asks me something, I've been trying to say, yeah, okay. Like if she wants me to make a, I don't know, a card to say happy summer for her friend, and I say, yeah, okay, and I'll stop what I'm doing if I'm not doing anything particularly important, if I'm just sort of pottering around, and then we do it, and I say, it's way easier if we just say okay to each other than fighting about it. Like it doesn't matter if I'm not really in the mood to make a card, you would like me to, so I'm going to do that. It makes you happier, and then we can do it and we can move on. So if I say, can you get in the car please, or like it's time to go put on your shoes, and if you say okay, and then we can continue with the day and we can go and do something fun, which is probably what we're going to be doing anyway because we spend most of our time trying to entertain her, and then there's no fuss, there's no crying, there's no threats of taking away TV later or whatever. And it's just way easier and we can just get on with it. So I'm really trying to get that into her mindset. It takes a lot of repetition, which sometimes isn't on my agenda when I'm just trying to get out of the house. But I also have to remember that they, or my daughter at least, don't really have a concept of time or priorities. Like their priority is whatever they happen to be fancying doing at the moment. Like if it's just lying on the floor, that's what they want to do. Or if they want to watch TV, that's my most important thing. It's not, we need to do this so that we can go out so that we don't miss our appointment for doing something else later. And then we've got swimming tomorrow that we need to buy a new pair of goggles or something for. That isn't in their agenda. They don't understand we've got to do this in half an hour because that's all the time we have. It's, I want to do this on the floor. So maybe that goes back to what you were saying, Stacey, about priorities and needing to explain the whole thing in a sort of understandable, I don't know, maybe I need to draw it out on a big schedule or something and say, look, we need to do this now so that we can do this later. If we don't do this and then rub out the thing that we're going to do that's fun, so this can't happen. So are we on board? Okay, good. Let's do that.
Again, consensus is not what I go for.
Yeah.
And I've overexplained it again. So she's lost it. She didn't care. She's gone back to YouTube Kids.
Yeah.
There's no consensus in my house. It's literally like, here's what the plan is for the day. Here's how it's going to work. You have this amount of time now, and I'll let you know when it's done, and then we'll move on to the next thing. At first, there was a lot of resistance to it, for sure. But after months of, you know, drilling it into them, it's like, I'm not budging on this. They're pretty compliant. Like, I have to say, like, kids do plenty of annoying things, but they are really good kids. So I don't doubt that for a second.
So how do you get through the middle bit where you start saying, okay, this is the plan for the day, and then they lose it, and then months later they're on board, but what's in between?
I find it was a lot of self-regulation, letting them burn out all their feelings. For example, with my 5-year-old, he'll go into tantrums over, you know, so many little things because, you know, the pandemic has had a lot of effects on kids in ways we have not yet begun to fully understand. But what I find is useful with him is that I'll engage him to talk about his feelings, and, you know, he'll be mid-tantrum trying to speak. You can't understand a word coming out of his mouth. I'm like, no, we're going to talk in English. So calm down, take some breaths, and then explain to me what's going on. And then, as you know, through the breathing, he naturally calms himself down enough to get it out of his system. And then that's when we can start talking about solutions and what we can do in order to improve things for him. But I find that needs to be the first step, is being able to, you know, get them to understand that if they're in a state, there's not a lot you can do with that. They have to be willing to let you calm them down or bring them to a point where you can be productive, because otherwise it just spirals and escalates and gets worse and worse and worse. And so, yeah, I try as often as possible to, you know, speak with him on his level, not terms, but, you know, at a point where he can understand where I'm coming from, I can understand where he's coming from, and go from there. But it's taken a lot of, you know, tough love in that, you know, if he's inconsolable, I'll be like, okay, just take some time in your room to get out of your system and come back when you're ready, or I'll seek him out after like 15, 20 minutes or so. But there's a lot of just that emotional regulation, especially when they're not in school, where this is stuff that they're learning in an environment with other kids. It's being more, okay, let me understand who you are as a kid and help you work through whatever's going on.
Hey, let me ask you, Casey, let me ask you a question. Is your wife or your partner on board with you in this approach? That's key to success.
What we are learning is that we have very different upbringings and very different things we bring into the mix. Where I think mine comes from the fact that my dad was a restaurateur, so he really wasn't around a lot at home physically growing up. So a lot of what I know comes from my mom, or when she had to escalate to my dad, it was usually only a bad thing. So I've learned to, you know, find a better ground there where I can be involved and also be a disciplinarian, but also be the fun dad who does the stuff they want to do. Like, it's a mixture of all those things.
Sure.
And whereas I find Sarah's approach is, you know, she wants to be their friend, and then when that doesn't work, she just explodes like a volcano, and she's like, I'm not productive either. So we try to find a middle ground where it works, and it clashes at times. You know, there's moments where we're just kind of like, I'm trying to do something, and I'm being talked over, or one approach is not working. We have to kind of switch to another. But I think overall, we're both really good at, you know, it's like an all hands on deck approach. So we'll try to jump in where we need to when we have the energy to do so, and make sure that we can take care of things. So there's a lot of implicit trust instead of explicit discussions on it. But every now and then we have to kind of just review the playbook, you know, go by the play by play, see what happened and where we could improve.
That's great. Nice. I mean, I really like that you thought about it so much that the communication between you both, you and Sarah, but also with your kids as well. So, and like, it's hard because, like, as adults, we're all completely different, and we've come together to make this unit.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all doing this for the first time, for the most part.
Right.
And it's really difficult. It's difficult to be on the same wavelength as your parental partner, and then also impart any sort of structure or teachings to the new generation, who have no idea what's going on, and they're trusting us that we know what we're doing, and we're quickly realizing that our parents before us didn't know. They just were trying to figure it out, and it's, I don't know, they lost it sometimes, and we're going to lose it sometimes, and it's a very curious, difficult balancing act that we all have to do as parents and spouses, to try and be cohesive and continue to communicate with all the other people in your family, even mm-hmm. when
yeah.
everything feels like it's a real struggle.
Well, and there's no prep work for yeah. parenting. You know, you can like, before you get married or you move in together or you form a committed relationship, you have other relationships, or you go on dates, you stay overnight. I mean, all these little steps towards learning how to be a partner, but then to be a parent, my God, it's just, you know, it's just boom, here you are, you got a baby.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah.
By the way, everything you thought you knew, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
So true.
Yeah.
So true.
And on top of that, it's 1,000 degrees.
Oh.
I need to put my fan back on. Anyone want to talk about anything? Any campaigns you're working on or social? Let's do the social handles and then we'll hang up because I'm boiling.
The inimitable KCP. Tell us your story here.
Oh my goodness. Honestly, I'm just bouncing back after Father's Day, which was a beast to get through this year in good ways, like lots of good things. But yeah, currently there's at least a few campaigns sitting in my email that I haven't addressed yet because I'm dealing with some other things in my day job, and not a bad thing. I just got a sudden
Just
promotion I
business.
didn't expect, which means I have a
Congrats.
lot more responsibility. Thank you. So I'll be announcing that as things get more solidified. But there's that, and then there's a lot of other things coming up. There's a lot of summer stuff. There's a really cool thing I'm trying to do with Canadian Tire Automotive. LG Canada has a thing I'm doing.
Oh,
And there's a
is it
little.
their particularly thin, foldy thing?
It is their particularly thin
I think I might be on the same
laptop.
thing.
We should talk. Yeah, I'm trying to figure that out with like between all my trips to make that work. But there's a lot of things that are popping up. I find that, I think what's helped a lot is putting out that the list of Canadian dad creators has gotten a lot more visibility. I see people searching it on a very regular basis, like two
Nice.
to three times a day. So I think we're being brought into discussion a lot more often than usual, which is very refreshing. And so we'll see where it all goes. But yeah, I need to kind of just get through a couple things this week and then kind of double down on the campaigns. My book that I'm working on that I have to get the manuscript in for on Black Fatherhood. And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of stuff happening, guys.
What's your platform that you find you doing the most work on right now, or these days?
Definitely Instagram. I spend a lot of time working on the search engine optimization for my site for a while, so caseypalmer.com. So I should put it out there. And so that saw a lot more traffic go there, and now it's kind of stabilized at a good point, which is significantly more than it was before. But Instagram is the hungriest of beasts, and I find that it probably brings me the best return. And I don't mean that numerically, I mean just like engagement and the fun I have in the comments and getting to talk to people and stuff. Facebook is good for like the big announcements, like if I have something like an award or a promotion or things like that. Facebook's really good for that stuff because it snowballs really quickly with people with congratulations and whatnot. But for kind of like day-to-day stuff and just kind of everyday snippets of what's going on, I find that Instagram just feels like the most natural fit for that right now.
Nice stuff. Nice stuff. And what, where do we find you on Instagram?
Oh yeah, that's a good question. Casey Palmer. So if you go to caseypalmer.com, everyone, it links to everything else because I'm all over the internet, just some places more than others.
And it's Casey, Casey.
It is Caseypalmer. James, I assume you'll have show notes, but hey, just in case.
Well,
I
yeah,
am.
I'll link all the stuff, you know.
Oh, perfect. I often get my name's Stacy, and I often get emails or I mean messages with Stacy. They drop the E, so that's why I was emphasizing this E in your name as well. It's
Well played. Well played.
yes,
I know a telemarketer's calling when they ask for Miss Casey Palmer. I'm like, nope, no one here by that name. Sorry. Thank you.
you had your shot and you just missed.
Right.
Nice,
And
nice.
what about you, Stacey? What are your links?
I'm still running a dad in the burbs at a dad in the burbs, and I actually managed to get the Twitter handle with a dad in the burbs, Instagram, and my Facebook page with a dad in the burbs, and my blog, a dad in the burbs, or stacyrobinsmith.com. But I
Nice.
spend most of my time, like Casey was saying, I spend most of my time with engagement, chatting with people, and interacting on Instagram, and it's just more fun, and it's just so much more lighthearted. The Twitter is probably second in line for the YouTube comments as one of the angriest places in the world.
Oh yeah.
But it's so Instagram. I just find it's fun, and I'm maybe it's because of the maybe it's because of the profile I've developed where it's mostly moms, dads, and food stuff. So I avoid the stuff about the stuff that gets people angry. So other than pineapple on pizza, so that's.
I saw a thing about that and it about the pineapple on pizza. And the best response was, I've chosen to evolve as a person and I'm open to new things.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, there's no arguing with that.
Yeah.
I'll plug myself,
Do it.
socialdad.ca. And I just found out that if you type in dad blog to Google, I'm the number one.
Yay! Woohoo!
Woohoo!
I wonder what dad life. Bear with me while I Google myself. Etsy. Oh. Okay, I got to work on that then. Instagram is JamesRCS, and on Twitter as well. Is anyone on TikTok?
No.
I try.
Not really. I have an account, but it's just not worth it.
Yeah, I'm trying, but it's I don't dance, and I'm not that funny or attractive, so it's a bit of a loss for me.
That headband, lovely. You know, that headband, maybe the kicker kicks you over to the attractive side.
Yeah, that could be the key.
It might be, but
it's not likely, but we'll see. Yeah. All right, well, thanks, fellas. Appreciate you jumping on this late and this hot. Great, well, have a good one.
Okay, you too. Thank you, James. And hey, Casey, it's so awesome to hear your voice in real life.
Yeah.
You too, man. This is really good. And I do cool off. I'll let you guys know more about when I'm coming over. And if we can meet up, we can meet up. If not, then this won't be the last time I travel across the country. So
we
never know.
We'll never forgive you.
Well, when you come, I assume you're flying out, right?
Yeah, we'll fly out. And then I'm just trying to fit in, whether it's one larger, you know, group's coffee type thing or whatever in between checking things out. I know that Sarah will probably only give me so long to work with because, again, 10th anniversary trip.
Yes.
Probably should focus on her.
About the couple. About the two of you.
Yeah, but or I would love to see everyone if possible.
Yeah. Well, we'll be at the airport, just big cheering section like that. Like, oh my God, it's the Casey Palmer.
Oh my God, he's out of prison.
That's awful.
Well done.
We will see how it goes. I'll keep you guys in the loop. So you know.
All right, sounds good. All right, thanks, fellas.
Okay, right. Thank you.
Have a great one.
Okay, good night, everybody.